Friends, what I want to speak to you about this evening is the importance of spiritual growth. And I know that Ross last week spoke as well. Within this service, he spoke on the 6 points of spiritual growth, or the truths of spiritual growth. Now this evening, and I think it was, or last week, it was a great service. I think there's a lot, or I know there's a lot that we can take out of that. And especially for ourselves, especially when we start feeling inadequate, when we start approaching God in certain areas of our spiritual growth. We think that we don't read the Bible enough. We don't think we pray enough. We don't think all these things. And as soon as our Bible reading time goes out the window, as soon as our prayer time goes out the window, then we start feeling inadequate and we start thinking, well, you know what? God doesn't love me. Well, that's all a lie. God loves you irrespective. Because the Word says, yet when you were sinners, He sent His Son to come and set you free. To come and set you free. So this evening, we're going to look at the importance of spiritual growth. Now, the very first point that I have is I say that Christ is returning soon. Who knows that? Okay, and the rest of you? You don't. A good place to start reading your word is in Revelation. All right. But in any case, Christ is returning soon. And it's something that we as the church, we need to know. It is something that we need to love. It's something that we need to participate in. It's something that we need to speak of. We need to make the whole world know this. Why? Because you and me, we have got the key to life. We have got the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and that means that there's a lot of people out there in the world who do not have it. And the only way that they will ever hear it is when we open up our mouths. Not just opening up our mouths, but doing what? Also living it. Showing them who we are. So when we're saying Christ is returning soon, we need to understand that He's not coming back as a lamb. Jesus is returning as a fierce warrior. He is seated upon a white horse. There's fire in His eyes, and He is returning with a sword. He is not coming to bring salvation, but He is coming to bring judgment. And we as the church, we have a great responsibility to speak. Christ is returning soon. Regarding to what is the importance of spiritual growth, we need to grow spiritually, not just for ourselves, but for others too. Why do I say that? Because the more you spend time in the Word and the more you spend time in prayer, the more you get to know who Jesus is. The more you spend time in the Word and the more you pray, the more you will know who Jesus is. Therefore, the more you spend time and the more you know, the more you will speak because Christ becomes reality to you. Therefore, you will also have a love for your fellow neighbor. Spiritual growth builds platforms for the Holy Spirit to manifest the glory of God in us and through us. Very important. The more time you spend in the Word, the more platform, the more ground you give to the Holy Spirit to use you to speak into people's lives, to bring truth, to bring liberty, to encourage, to bring freedom. And if we don't know Him, how can we do that? What we need to understand as the church is that we are God's chosen vessels. Now what we're going to do is, we need to understand that this evening's sermon is about what? It is about the importance of you growing spiritually. So when we say that we are God's chosen vessel, what does this mean? We see that in the Old Testament, God used Israel as His vessel of choice to declare His holiness and His righteousness and His rule and His reign to all the ungodly nations. We hear that God calls Israel and say to them, listen, you need to live holy and righteous and close to me so that I can manifest my glory through you and in you so that the nations of the world will be attracted to me. Then what we see is we see in the New Testament, we see Jesus comes and the vessel changes. And it's called the church. It's called you and me. For we are what? We are living stones. That is what you are. So when we talk about the church, it's not this building. It's not the brick. It's not the mortar. It's not the plaster. It's not the wine. Ugh, I almost said the wine. It's not the water. What is it? It's you. It's me. It's us. It's living stones moving from one place to another place. And what is the command of Christ to you, the church? What is his command? He says, live close to me. Obey my commands. Obey my word. Why? So that I can manifest my glory in you and through you. For what reason? So that the world will see me in you and that they will be attracted to me. You see, we serve a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever more. Can you see that? So it is important that you and me grow spiritually, that we grow in Christ. So that what? So that the character of God can be seen in us, so that we will be attractive to the world. You know that the word says to us that you and me, that we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and those who are busy perishing. I love that analogy. I love it. I just want to add, as you can see, I said not replacement theology. The church does not replace Israel. All right. The church does not replace Israel. God has got covenant with Israel and he will fulfill that covenant. So in the dispensation period of grace, as soon as Jesus returns, that will then, or God will then fulfill that covenant with Israel. So we, the church, are not replacing Israel. It's called replacement theology and it's all sorts of nonsense. But in any case, it's not for this evening. So let's just quickly recap on what Ross spoke of last week. Ross spoke of spiritual growth, and it says, does not earn you favor. What we will have a look, we'll go a little bit deeper into it a little bit later on. Well, not in about 2 minutes. Point two, it says, has a clear goal. Spiritual growth is mystical and yet measurable. It requires deliberate effort. It's God's work, and there's a lot of teamwork involved with it. A lot of teamwork. So what I want to do is, with you, I want to go through the Word and what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at every single point and we're going to see how important it is for you and me to grow spiritually. Because if we don't, we're not going to go anywhere. We might get into heaven, but the reward that we will receive might not be that great. All right, are we ready? Oh my smack. Are we ready? Thank you very much. All right, so point one says, does not earn you favor. So who's got their Bibles here? Who's got their Bibles? All right, fabulous. So turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. And what we're going to do is we're going to read from verse 1 to 16. And what I want you to do is, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture. What we're going to see is we're going to see reward, but I don't want you to look at the word reward, 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 reward. What I want you to do is I want you to look at the word favor. Because we need to understand that the way we think is that the more time I spend with Christ, the more I read my Bible, the more I pray, I will have favor with God. But that is not true. It's not true. We're going to see what it does bring. But to generate favor with God, he's respecter of no man. And we're going to see this through this parable. So from verse 1 it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. Now every time when you open your word and you see that the kingdom is like unto you. You need to understand that this is a spiritual truth. And what Jesus is actually telling you is this is the way it will be, or this is the way it is in heaven. All right. Verse 2. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out by the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. That is, verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is it your evil because I am good? So the last will be first and the first last, for many are called but few are chosen. So, JJ, what does it have to do? Because it's speaking about reward. But if you look a little bit deeper into it, you will actually see that Christ favors no one. Jesus favors no one. You can come to Christ in the first hour of salvation. Your end might come. But where you will be going, the reward is exactly the same. Now, I love a God that is like that, because He loves you irrespective where you find yourself in life. He favors no man. He favors no man. When you look at spiritual growth, it says it produces in you obedience to the Word of God. Spiritual growth produces obedience to the Word of God. Whatever the Word will say, that is what you will do. Whatever this Word will say, whatever God commands of you, guess what? You will obey it. Spiritual growth produces faith. You will know who God is. It produces works in which you will glorify God. It produces discernment of good and evil. This good and evil, you will find in, I think it's in Hebrews chapter 5, it's the last couple of verses where it says, if you continue, or if you find yourself to be daily within the doctrine of Christ, you will be able to discern what is good and what is evil. The truth of the matter is that spiritual growth does earn you reward in building God's kingdom. You see, the more time you spend with God and the more you pray, God doesn't favor you the more. But the more time you spend with Him, the more you pray, the more you get His heart, the more you get His understanding, the more you get His ears, the way he sees things, the more you receive that what He wants you to do. And in that, there is reward. Scripture is clear. In 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, and I didn't even go and check it up, and I hope someone this morning did, but I think it's 1 Corinthians 3 where Christ speaks, where Paul speaks where Jesus speaks through Paul to the church of Corinth. And he says to them, listen, there is no other foundation on which man must build. But some of you will build with hay. Now I'm paraphrasing. With hay and with sticks. And some of you might build with precious stones, but it will be tested by fire. And then your reward will come. That portion of Scripture doesn't speak of salvation, but it speaks of reward. So the more you spend time with God and the more you pray, the more you get who He is, the more your reward will be. If we go to point two, it says God has a clear goal with spiritual growth. Spiritual growth has got a clear goal. Point one, it says to change us from the inside out. So let's go to Romans 12. This water. I love this portion of scripture in Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Spiritual growth has got a clear goal in what? It is to change you and me from the inside out. Paul speaks and he says, I beseech you. And I can say to you this evening, I beseech you that every day that you live, that you give yourself as a sacrifice unto God. That you will live your life holy. And what Paul even goes further, he says that this is your reasonable service unto God. It's not something that is not reasonable. And then he says that the goal is that you do not be conformed to your former ways, but that you will renew your mind. You see, you can only be changed from the inside out. And who can change you? Not you, not the world, but the Word of God. It says that the Word of God is truth, and the truth will set you free. So the more time you spend in the Word, the more time you spend in the presence of God, the more your mind will be renewed. And the more your mind is renewed, your ways and your character will change. The way you present yourself will change. The way you speak will change. The way you think will change. Point number two, it says to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, I love this because there's a word called, in the Greek, it's called metamorpho. And it's a metamorphosis that will take place. It's changing one image into another. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. That's the word in Greek, metamorpho. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. I love that. It says that the goal here for you to change, or for your goal to grow spiritually, is to become more like Christ. To become more like Christ. Point number three. Point number four says, destroy the work of the flesh and cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. I love this. Turn to Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, I love this portion of scripture. It says, I say then, from verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Very simple, very easy. It says, you need to be in spiritual growth not to fulfill the lusts and the desires of your flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led, and I love this, it says, but if you are led, so you are not led all the time. That's why it's important that we stay connected to Christ. That we are continually found by the feet of Jesus. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and these alike, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The goal here is to destroy the flesh. When you grow spiritually in God, you destroy the lust, the desire of your flesh. And when you grow in God, this is what you start cultivating.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I love that. It says the more we build ourselves up in this goal to grow spiritually, to get the flesh, to kill the flesh so that the flesh will die, Jesus is saying to you and to me, I have given you a seed called the gospel. And the seed that I have sown, I've sowed it onto fertile soil. And the seed that I've given you, you need to cultivate it. You need to look after it. You need to protect it so that it can sprout and grow. What is the purpose of a fig tree? What is the purpose of an apple tree? It's to produce fruit. It's to produce fruit. Its creative purpose is to produce fruit so that you and me and people, whomever, who like apples can go and eat it and be nourished. So what is your purpose? Your purpose is to take the seed that Christ has given you and cultivate it within your soil, within your heart, and make sure that it bears godly fruit. Why? Can I tell you that the only time that you are attractive, you are attractive. The only time that you're attractive to the world, yes, I'm speaking to you. The only time when you are attractive to the word of to the world is when you portray and when you carry the fruit of the Spirit. Love, peace, joy, long-suffering, patience. For what reason? Because you are a chosen vessel by God. You are a chosen vessel by God that He will manifest His glory in you and through you so that you will be the aroma unto those who are perishing and being saved. That's why you need to cultivate it. It is something precious. It is not something to toil with. It's not something to throw away. It's something to hold on to. It is to make His name great. Point five, build relationship with God and man. The goal for you to grow spiritually is to grow in your relationship with Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. And the more this relationship develops, the more your relationship will develop this way. With your fellow man, brother and sister. And number six is to fulfill the commission of Christ. What is that commission? It says to go into the world. Go and do what? Preach the gospel. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lay your hands on the sick and cast out demons. That is the goal, to grow spiritually. Spiritual growth is measurable. Another point that I love. Why? Because the Word says to us that when we have been called, when we are planted, we are known by our fruits. It's exactly to what I just said to that lady there. You will be known by your fruits. Not just only by your fruits will you be known, but you will also be known by your faith and by your works. By your faith and by your works. You are more than welcome to go and have a look at these portions or at these scriptures. But what I want us to do is I want us to go and look at John 15, because that is an important portion of scripture. And I know that you all are very well versed in the Bible. So John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Your spiritual growth is measurable by your fruits. And the only way that you can produce fruit in your life is to beware. We've just read it. Is to be in the vine. If you are not in the vine, you will not produce godly fruit, but you will produce the works of the flesh. It's simple. It's simple. So how important is spiritual growth to God? How important is it that you bear fruit? To Christ, it's a big thing. Because he says, by this, when you bear fruit, by this my Father is glorified in heaven. To grow spiritually, point four, requires deliberate effort. Emphasis, deliberate. Emphasis, effort. Now, I understand and you understand that to wake up every morning at 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I'm going to rock just now, but any case, I'm going to start singing this song. But we need to be honest with one another. It's not always easy. For me as a pastor, when I see that there are stuff going on in our congregation's lives and stuff, the very first question I ask them is, how is your quiet time and how is your prayer time? And every time people answer, 99.91% or however it goes, they say, well, it's not that good. It can go better. Actually telling you, it's just non-existent. That's code talk. All right. That's so that the pastor doesn't look in you and frown at you. It's like, okay, well, there's maybe just that 1% chance. But don't worry, this is a pastor's joke, so that's cool. Where was I? Okay. So we understand that it is not always easy. It is not always easy, but that is not an excuse. It is not an excuse. Because we have been commanded by God to do these things. And the first one that we see is in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 6, where God clearly shows, where Jesus clearly tells us to go into our quiet place, close the door, and go and pray. Now, for most of us, it is difficult to do it. It is difficult to find a 3-minute, a 2-minute. It is difficult to find 30 seconds within our hectic and busy lifestyles. But let me tell you this, if you want to grow spiritually, you need to start doing it. It's going to take deliberate effort. And if you're not doing it, you better start doing it. Point two, Christ calling us daily to his banqueting table. I need to read this one. Luke 14 from verse 15 to 24. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see to it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done and as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. You know, and it's so true about us. Every morning, Christ invites you and me to a banqueting table to spend time with Him. Christ invites us in the afternoon. He invites us in the evening. He invites us 24 hours, 7 days a week. He invites us to a banqueting table to come and spend time with Him. But you know what's funny? Is that we always find excuses. Just as these people who were invited, they had a free ticket. The church has a free ticket. It's called salvation. It's called redemption. But when Christ calls the church, when Christ beckons you and me closer to Him, what do? We say, excuse me, Jesus. Just hang on. I bought myself 2 new motorbikes. I need to go test them out. I can't come to you now. Jesus, I just bought myself a new mountain bike. I can't see you now because I need to go up the mountain. And I'm not coming up the mountain to see you. I'm just going for a great drive. Jesus, I just bought myself some new shoes, some new jogging shoes. I can't spend time with you now because I need to go jog. Some of us might buy a home next to the sea somewhere up in the West Coast. And every weekend you say, sorry, I can't come to church. Or you've got some sort of an excuse. Some of you don't have children yet. But you do have wives or you do have girlfriends. And this becomes the excuse. Sorry, I can't spend time with you. Sorry, I can't do this or that because I'm preoccupied with other things that are more important than you. Church. If we want to grow spiritually, it's going to cost us a deliberate effort to find out what the heart of Christ is. If you want to be used in the kingdom of God, it's going to cost you everything. You need to come under the lordship of Jesus before you can call Him Savior. I'm going to repeat that again. You need to come under the lordship of Christ before you can call Him your Savior. What does that mean? Thank you for asking. I will gladly tell you. To come under the lordship of Jesus Christ means, Christ, I bow my knee to you. I lay my life down. It is your rule. It's your command. It is your reign that will, from this day forward, I will follow you. Not my will, not my ways, not my thoughts, but whatever you command, I lay it down. Only then can you call Him Savior. Because if you do not lay down your life, He's not your Savior. He's just your free ticket that you might think you're going to heaven. And you are not following His ways. You are still following your own ways. So to grow spiritually, we need to daily be found at the banqueting table that the Lord places before us. We need to be like Mary, be found by the feet of Christ. Point 3 says, we need to run the race. We need to beat our bodies, our flesh into submission daily. Now that is not easy. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9. Are you still with us? Verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, the church, for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's deliberate. When you are running a race, you need to train. When you are a boxer, you need to train. And all the words are graphical within that, within this portion of Scripture. It's hard work. It's hard work. It's deliberate. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost me something. Point five. It's teamwork. Between who? Between man and God, and man and man. Why not? Why isn't this teamwork? Not between God and man. Because Christ has done all. Jesus has done all things. We need to come under His lordship. And now it is our teamwork with Him. We need to work with Him. Man needs to be under Christ's lordship. His rule, His reign, His command, and His purpose to work together with God to save a world that needs freedom and liberty and peace and love. In this, I want to say to you, the more you grow spiritually, it is the fullness of God. There will be an overflow of love. There will be an overflow of the character of God. An overflow of the character of the Holy Spirit that will flow from you, and it will flow over into the people that will be on your left and on your right, to the front and to your back. And it's only then when you and me will be able to encourage, build up, teach, and keep people accountable. And it's only then when you and me will be able to see His kingdom come. Spiritual growth is so important for you and me, because you and me, the church, is God's chosen vessel to manifest His glory to a dying world. If you just switch on the TV, if you just go onto News 24, if you just read, and if you just listen to the nonsense that the world is in, is it rightfully for me to say that this world needs a Savior? That all of mankind is looking and waiting in anticipation for someone to relieve this constant pressure? We have the answer. We have the answer. In conclusion, spiritual growth is essential, as we will see the kingdom of God come in our own lives and in the lives of others. If you do not grow spiritually, if you do not grow spiritually, you will never see the kingdom of God. You will never see the kingdom of God come in other people's lives. We need to come under the lordship of Christ to grow spiritually. And that is obedience. Do you know that Jesus doesn't require your sacrifice? You can give up what you want to give up. And you can make yourself to feel great because you've given so much things up. And trust me, I've gone through that process. I've given up much for Christ. But there were times in my life where I didn't obey Him. And my life fell apart. I might have felt good within myself. But man, oh man, it didn't grow me. It kept me stagnant for a long, long, long time. Until Christ came and said, JJ, do you want to change? Do you want to start obeying? And I said, yes, Lord. And guess what? Things started changing. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to come under the Lordship and we need to obey Jesus Christ. What I love about this is normally, like I shared this morning, I said, simple, and I don't think I looked at you, Cobus, but I won't look at them, but I'll rather look at you. Is normally when we would say you need to come under the Lordship of Christ and you need to obey every word, you understand that a lot of people will say to you and to me, JJ, that you are a law preacher. A lot of people will say to you, but JJ, hey man, you know what? The New Testament, there's liberty in Christ. I can do what I want to do. No, there's not. You cannot do what you just want to do. There's a lot of liberty, yes, but there are parameters. God will give you a clear indication of where you can go to and where you cannot go to. And when you come under the Lordship of Christ, Christ is holy and righteous. He is just and He is true. And therefore, you and me, we need to obey Him. It's not us that speaks law. It is God who commands. And point three, our heart or a mind not renewed daily will become an enemy of God. I want you to listen to that. A heart or a mind that is not renewed daily will become an enemy of God. May we stand. Like Paul beseeches very within Scripture, we can say, though for church shofar of Durbanville this evening, let us not give up. Let us not despair. But let us hold fast to that what Christ has called us to and entrusted us with. Church, Christ is returning soon. How is your spiritual walk? How is your spiritual development where you stand here this evening? I'm not going to call you forward. This is something that you need to make right with Christ where you stand if you are not in the place where you should be. What I want you to do is I'm going to give us 2 minutes. 2 minutes to close our eyes, to lift up our hands, to go on our knees, to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a repentant heart and say, Lord, here I am. I understand that spiritual growth is of the essence. Lord, I might not be found in the place where I need to be, but I know that You are a merciful and gracious God. And Your word says that if I repent, that You will again establish me to my righteous position in Me. And then what you do this evening is you say to the Lord, Lord, but from today, I will change my ways. Lord, from today, I will surrender to Your Lordship. Lord, from today, I will pursue You with everything that is within me. Lord, from today, I give You free rein in me to grow me, to prune me for Your kingdom and for Your purposes. Can we do that, church? Can we bow our heads?